Amen. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the gift of your Son, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this gathering and this opportunity, not only to hear powerful teaching from your word, but to experience that presence. I ask that you allow nobody to come in here and leave as the same way they came in, but transform them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it has been, I have to say, one doozy of a week on many, many levels. But I want to thank all of you for being here. And we will pray for those that are at the conference down in Fredericksburg, that they have safe travels on the way up. Sandy wanted me to announce we are coming to the end of our sign-up roster for snacks. So I'm going to pass this about. And so if you guys would sign up to bring food on the various empty dates, we want to make sure we got a couple weeks in there signed up, but we want to work ahead of the power curve. And the other thing Eric wanted me to let you guys know about, we have a new box of King's Oil. This is the anointing oil we use. It's a product of Israel, and it's Rabbi Landry's son, right? Does he run the whole business? So we're trying to support the economy back there in Israel. It's just a good thing, right? And so they're 10 bucks a bottle. So if you need some more anointing oil, we got a new batch in. And this is class number 3 of 5 of our Seer class with our guest speakers who are wonderful, mighty men and women of God who have blessed us tremendously. So I'm going to turn it over to them. Amen.
Can I have one of those stands? Can I have one of those stands? My daughter's Bible to see if it'll work as good as mine. How are you all? Okay. You all look great. You're welcome. See what 3 weeks does? So you all are doing great. I can see that. And I'll ask you the same question that I do every week. What did you all see when you came in? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I saw. Actually, on the way here, I was thinking about what I saw last time I was here. And what I saw last time I was here is I saw the fire of God on all the walls, and I saw Jesus walking in and out of the fire, and I was kind of waiting for him to come out and touch somebody so they could be ignited, and I know that that will happen in time. And so today when I came into the room, once again, I asked Jesus to show me what was going on, and from up there, I saw a huge waterfall that was coming down like this and landing right here. So I came over here and looked up into the waterfall, and it's still there. And so it was hitting me right in the face, and what I saw was the face of Jesus looking at me from out of the water. And I know that that is the way that he comes. He comes in the water. He comes in the word. He comes to us and reveals himself. And really, this is leading into what I'm talking about, what we're going to be talking about, and that is how visions are important. I ask the question because it's important to know the answer to this, because visions are not just pictures or photos or movies that are for the individual alone. Sometimes they are. Sometimes God gives you a vision, gives you a revelation that's really just for you personally to part, so you know what He is doing with you. But there are for other reasons as well. As prophetic, as being prophetic, you need to know what God is doing and be able to speak into it so others will know the direction that the cloud is moving. When you come into a room, into the sanctuary, and you ask Jesus, you know, what are you doing? Let me see what you're doing. You are beginning to get a glimpse of how He wants to reveal Himself in the meeting. And once you have seen that and you know what He is wanting to do in the meeting, then it becomes a responsibility, at least I feel this responsibility, to talk to whoever's leading the meeting to let them know, hey, this is what God is doing already. So that they can respond to it as they are leading the meeting in a particular direction. That's what being prophetic is about. It's about being a participant in what God is doing at the moment. Now, if you come into a room and you see the fire of God where the musicians are getting ready, then you know that that God wants to release His fiery presence through worship. If you come into the room and you see the anointing of God or His cloud that's just kind of hovering amongst the chairs, you know that He wants to bring His presence in a way, and you can start praying into that and giving birth to that in the meeting. So we're talking about participating, not only taking notes. Or you might come in, and this has happened to me before, and we've talked about this where I go to church. You come in and you look up in the ceiling and it's brass. Just a sheet of brass. You know that something's got to take place to break through that brass ceiling so that the anointing, so that worship comes, so that the meeting begins to flow with the purpose of God. That's why when you walk into a room, it's so important, because you are a participant. You know, being prophetic, one of the blessings of that is that you get to be out there in front and make a way for the rest of the body of Christ. We are to be able to speak the things that God is revealing. So, God, I just would ask you that you would open up our eyes to see how you are moving. That, Holy Spirit, that you would just come in a way that would open up our eyes to see the purpose of God so that we can be a participant in it, not just an observer. Okay, I'm going to talk about an event that took place where we used to go to church when we were in the D.C. area. And I have noticed that God comes a lot for me, personal way, when I'm grumpy about something. Don't know why, it's just that way. I've been grumpy for about 2 weeks. Usually it's because He's not speaking to me enough, or I'm not spending enough time in His presence, or something else, but it's usually centered around those things because I love to hear what He is saying and I love to participate in what He is doing. And when He's not filling me in, I get grumpy. And so the meeting's going on and I'm sitting on the carpet against one wall, just kind of waiting. And my pastor, my wife especially, they know when I'm like that to just kind of, it's okay, but just leave me alone. It's okay, but just, you know, I'm dealing with something. So I'm sitting there and Jesus opens up my eyes, and on one wall I see all these horses with chariots, and they've got scriptures written all over the things that they wear to pull, and they're anxious and like they're getting ready to run off somewhere. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty cool. And on the other wall at the back, I'm looking back there, and I can see, and it's like God is just opening up my eyes, and I'm seeing worshipers in the heavenlies. I'm seeing the angelic, many different kinds of creatures. And God is just, and you could see that they are just involved in the worship that was going on in the meeting at that time while I'm sitting against that wall. And then I stood up, and as I stood up, I put my hands against my back, and I could feel the mountain of spices that were in the back against that wall. It's like, these are not pictures. It's like the walls are gone, and this is what I'm seeing, and this is what I'm participating in. And I could feel the wind blowing against my hand and the spices from off the mountain blowing against me. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And the meeting goes on, and I'm just observing all of this. And then the meeting's over, and we get up and go home. And that's just kind of the end of it. The next week, we come. I'm still grumpy. I mean, that was a great vision, and it was awesome, but I'm still grumpy. And we get to the meeting. Worship has started. Once again, I'm sitting on the floor, leaning against the wall, and this whole thing opens up all over again. I'm seeing the horses there anxious to go. I'm seeing worship in the heavenlies taking place at one end of the room, and I'm seeing the mountains of spices on the other side, and worship is flowing, and the winds are blowing, and all this is going on, and I'm thinking, well, God, this is pretty cool. You know what you're doing, and meeting's over, and I'm just as grumpy as ever, and we get in the car and go home and live our lives for another week. Week 3 comes along. Sit down on the carpet, lean against the wall. Same thing all over again. The horses are anxious. The worship is taking place at the back of the room. The wall on my other side, the mountains of spices, they're there. You could smell it. I could feel it blowing around the room. So I asked Jesus 3 times, you're saying something more than what I'm seeing. Can you, enlighten me? And he says to me, you are not seeing a vision. What you're seeing right now is the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is revealing itself at our church. Our church, we send people out regularly. Even though we're not a big body, we send people out regularly. Worship is a key priority for us. It is the people come to our church for worship, and that really is the main thing as far as I'm concerned. And those mountains of spices, it is all about intimacy. That's what happens at our gatherings. It's intimacy, it's worship, and we send people out. It's intimacy, it's worship, and we send people out. God was showing to me what our place is as far as that body goes, where our place is in the body of Christ, and the kingdom, how the kingdom reveals itself to us, and how the kingdom is revealed when I come to a meeting and I see that those horses are very anxious, without anybody telling me ahead of time, I know we're sending out somebody. I just know we are. When I see the worship that's taking place in heaven, and I see that that is going on and it's going in a direction, I know that that is where worship is going to take us that day. And that's really what I wanted to talk about, was how visions are, they are not, it's not just for turning on the TV. It's for participating. It's a participation that God shows us through visions, through revelations, and he shows us how to participate. I've seen Jesus come out of that worship dancing up and down the aisles and see how that affects people who are there at the meeting. When we have visions, when we have dreams, I know that we are used to seeing a vision and then asking God, what does this mean? What does that mean? Then we go to our concordance and we look up words. And while all those things are good and they are the right thing to do because we want to understand what we are seeing, it is not so, it is not like a photograph where you get to see it and then you have to figure it out. Sometimes it's, well, what's behind that? Can you tell me more about this, Jesus? Is there more to this vision than just this? Can you, what's outside that door? What's outside that window? I know that I'm really now, up until this meeting, we've been talking more about how easy it is to see and praying that we will. And this is really more about graduating from that into the next step. And the next step is really participating with Jesus in what he is showing you at the moment, and also finding out more. delving further into what God is trying to reveal at that moment. You know, do you ever wonder why doesn't he just kind of lay it all out? I mean, I do. From time to time, I want, you know, what does that mean? You know, it's like my daughter used to say, what's that? You know, I want, and the reason is because he wants us to pursue him for the answer. You know, and sometimes that pursuing isn't just in a day or at the moment. Sometimes it is, but other times it's, okay, God, you showed me this yesterday. I'm back for more. I'm back because I want to hear what you're saying and I want to participate with what you're doing. What does this mean? Who's it for? What is that part of it? Can you show me more? And when we're doing that and we're participating with him, we're talking about intimacy again. And believe me, I know that there are some people that are just particularly gifted in a certain way, and that's fine, and I get that. But God is, he is into intimacy. I mean, that if there was nothing else that he wanted from us, it would be that one thing. That is the one thing that he pursues in us more than anything else. And he will, it's like, you know, he'll throw out that little bit of something, and then he'll throw out a little more of that something, and then a little more of that something, and a little more of that something. Because not only does he want us to get what he is saying, he wants us to get it from him in deep intimacy. And that's what he has called us to, and that's the prize. So anyway, getting back to hearing the word, seeing what he is doing, and then participating in it. Marianne?
I think I'm on here. Stephen wanted me to share something that just happened last evening. We were praying with a group of people, and someone had a vision for me. And it was, I'm not sure quite how to share this because it's, well, anyway. It was me worshiping in a certain position. I was kneeling down, and something that I was, and Jesus was watching, and I was worshiping him, and I was offering to him my worship. And when the woman who was seeing the vision saw it, I began to see it. So in my heart response was, I need to worship Jesus like that. So I did. I got down on my hands and knees, and she began to continue to ask the Lord about the vision. And she saw that as I was worshiping, that this yoke that had been around me was being taken off. And so I continued to worship him until I felt like the time was over. And then I didn't really notice anything different until this morning. And then I realized there was a burden that was off of me. And I say, thank you, God. But you see how he calls us to intimacy. He gives you a vision for someone because he knows that person's heart, and he knows that person is looking for something in particular that will draw them and just cause them to turn their hearts to him in a certain way. And you may have that key, and if you don't release that key that moment, then someone else will have to do it some other time. Or maybe it will be missed, and there'll be something else for that person. But we have to recognize that when he gives us a word, it's precious, because it's something that we want to honor him, and we want to honor the person that he's giving that word for. What Stephen was talking about is the reality of visions. He was talking about, this is a real place. In this room, there is a real waterfall that's pouring out the beautiful waters, and it's from the river that flows from the throne of God. That's where waterfalls, all water comes from. That you see in the spirit, that's coming into a sanctuary. It's that beautiful, intimate worship that comes from underneath a throne, and it's coming here and pouring out onto the earth. That's something that's real. Have you ever considered, scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you ever considered the vision where Ezekiel was told, he was in a vision, and he was told to take the scroll and eat it. So he did, and it tasted like honey. How can that be? It's a vision. But yet he took the scroll, he ate it, and it tasted like honey. The same thing happened to John the Beloved. The angel gave him a scroll. He ate it. This was in a vision. Visions are real. The things that we see are real. And I'm going to open the scriptures and show you from a scriptural standpoint why we need to esteem the things that we say in a way that honors God, because he wants us to know him. All of creation is groaning that we would know him so that we could be revealed as his sons and daughters. So I'm going to take you to, if you want to open your scriptures to, Exodus 24. And I'm going to start in verse 9. This is so cool. This is Moses. You know, they're just kind of making their way through the wilderness after being delivered. And the people are starting to recognize the presence of God. They're scared because he was showing himself with his outdoor voice instead of his indoor voice. And it made everyone frightened. So I'm going to start Exodus 24, verse 9. So Moses went up. This was at the command of the Lord with Aaron, American pronunciation, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God, and they ate and they drank. Now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with Joshua his servant and went up to the mountain of God. But to the elders he said, wait here for us, and we will return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him approach them. Then Moses went up the mountain. A cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. And to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Then the Lord said to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him to, you shall raise my contribution. And this is the contribution you are to raise from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. And this is what I really want you to hear. According to all that I am going to show you as a pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so that you can construct it. The Lord begins to tell Moses, but the word show you implies an actual visual seeing. So I believe that the Lord gave Moses more than just a blueprint on a piece of paper saying, here, build this tabernacle. This is what the furniture would look like. This is what the buildings are going to look like. You're going to have the outer court, inner court, holy of holies. You're going to have the bronze laver. You're going to have the altar of incense. You're going to have, the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to have all these things. He didn't just give him a piece of paper and read it to him and say, he actually showed it to him. It was a vision. And now I'm going to take you down to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. Because we know that the natural things speak of the invisible, right? Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, so it is necessary this high priest also have something to offer. Now, If he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. Just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle, "See," he says, "that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain." But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, he being Jesus, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. So you see, even the writer of Hebrews is saying that there is a heavenly sanctuary, and that that's a real place. It's a real place, and that Moses was given a blueprint to build it in the natural realm. So visions, Moses saw a vision. He constructed the thing as the tabernacle as commanded by the Lord. And it's all because the natural things speak of the invisible. Thank you, Lord. So if this is the case, then there are places in the scripture that are described that are real places. There are events that are happening in heaven right now that are real. And I think the one we're most familiar with is Revelation chapter 4. So I'm taking a trip through the Bible. John the Beloved. "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after these things.' And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, on a throne was standing in heaven, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their head. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf. The third had the face of that of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around within. And day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" This is the worship around the throne. This is the worship that we engage in. This is the worship then when Eric and the worship leaders come and worship. They're joining in around the throne, the heavenly chorus that is saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." This is real. This is a real place, and this is where we step in. When that waterfall is flowing down, it's flowing from under the throne, and it's splashing here into this sanctuary tonight. And as you worship, there it is. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This is a real place. You can read on because there's more description of what it looks like in the heavenly throne room. I'd like to take you to another place where it's described. Of course, John the Beloved didn't know Isaiah, although he may have read Isaiah's vision. So we'll go to Isaiah chapter 6, another one that you've read before. But now as I read, it's okay to envision what it looks like in heaven. Why else would it be written for us to read about if it wasn't for us to learn about what it's like in heaven? So Isaiah saw this. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. What did John see? Six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke." That's where worship takes us, to the real place of the throne room of God. Here's another place, Daniel chapter 7. And that's in verse 9, I believe I'll start. Daniel had just seen a vision of the four beasts. And he was looking, and actually was distressed because he didn't really understand it. It was terrifying, actually, the vision he was having. So Daniel 7, verse 9. "I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames, its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were opened. And then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. And I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and given into the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. I kept looking in the night visions. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." Amen. So the throne room is a real place in heaven. Three men, actually Ezekiel saw as well, with the eyes and wheels. But three men who didn't know each other. Daniel certainly read the book of the writings of Isaiah, but he didn't. He had his own experience and vision. John certainly knew of the scrolls of Isaiah and of Daniel, but he had his own vision. And he experienced God. I told you he was told to take the scroll and eat it, and he did. He ate it. How do you eat a vision? How do you eat a scroll that's in a vision? It's because it's real. The vision's real. And it's also something that these men were invited to participate in. And the Lord is always speaking to us. He is always, always speaking to us because his heart is that we would know him. This is eternal life, that we would know him, right? So he gives us these writings. He gives us experiences in him that we can judge by the scripture, and we can follow after him and do the things that he's called us to do, and we can live out our destiny in Jesus. I'm just asking the Lord, because there are a couple different directions we could go in. And I feel his presence stirring. I'd like to revisit Revelation chapter 4. Hmm. scene in heaven. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven. We like to encourage our classes to see, and because these are real places that have been described by men in the scripture who had the similar experiences in the throne room of God, this is a place that we know exists in heaven. So it's okay to look to see what the Lord is saying as we enter the throne room in vision. So remember, if we ask the Lord for our bread, He's not going to give us a stone. If we ask Him for a fish, He's not going to give us a snake. He's going to give us the thing that we're looking for. And it's because He wants us to know Him, and He wants us to relate to Him. Everything that is made, all creation, is speaking of Him. There's nothing in creation that doesn't tell a story about who God is. And that's why no man has any excuse to not know Him. And that's why it's okay to ask the Lord for a vision, and He can give you a vision, because He's not going to give you a rock or a snake or something poisonous. He's going to give you something that reveals Himself, because He wants us to know Him. He's crying out for us to know Him. And so this is one of those places that we can see Him high and lifted up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, holy on His throne. So immediately, envision this as I read. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their head. And out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. You know, His voice is like thunder. His voice is like thunder over the waters. So let's listen right now. He also says that when He speaks, "My sheep, hear My voice and follow Me." We understand what He tells us, and we hear His voice and we follow Him. So we hear Your thunder, Lord. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come." Day and night they do not cease to say, let's all say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We've just joined the worship in heaven. because day and night they do not cease saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him and before him who sits on the front throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne saying, Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. And I saw between the throne, I'm skipping down to 5 verse 6, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. I feel his presence so strongly that I'm just going to read the two portions of worship to the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. You can say it with me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Can you see the myriads and myriads of angels? Can you see the elders bowing down, laying their crowns down before him? To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. So when you open the scripture, every scripture is an invitation to meet him and to have a conversation with him and to join in what goes on in the heavenly places, because we know that the natural things speak of the invisible. Just now, when we opened that book, especially the book of Revelation, and we looked at it to see the places that in the scripture, we want to see what the throne room looks like. And we've been given three places that we can look, and people saw the same thing. It's a place where the Lord invites us to come, and he invites us to worship, and he invites us to come to know him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He invites us to know the glory of the Lamb on the throne, the glory of the one who, that when he is raised up, he draws all men to himself. And so when you open the scripture and you read it like that, instead of reading it as though you're outside looking in through a window, it gives you an opportunity to meet God in a new way and to have new intimate worship that joins the rhythm and the melody and the lyrics of heaven. So when you worship him, you've come before him to honor him in a way that is it's being done in the heavenlies all the time, because it says, day and night, the creatures, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come. Lord, we love your presence. We love the pictures that you've given us in the scripture. We love how you are the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We love to see you in your glory and in your majesty. We love to join the holy entourage of angels and creatures and elders and worship you in the way that they worship you. And Lord, I ask that you would ignite our hearts so that we would have the rhythms, the melodies, the lyrics of the worship of the redeemed. That you would move on us, God, in worship. And that you would cause us to bow our hearts low before you. We love you, God. We love to see you high and lifted up. We love when your train is filling the temple. We love when your presence fills the room like a smoke. We love when the room feels crowded because there are myriads and myriads of angels and thousands of angels gathered around as we worship, because they long to peer into the hearts of men to see what it is, to what it's like to be redeemed. And so, Lord, we ask for the songs of the redeemed, that we would release our hearts to you and join the worship that's around the throne. We bless you, God. We honor you. We love to be with you. We love when your presence is in the room. We love all the things that you've done for us. So, Lord, show us how to worship you in holy attire and give you the honor that you deserve. Thank you, Lord, for the scripture, for those who have gone on before us, so that we could know you, we could know the glory of who you are, and that we could know the way in which we can walk. Thank you, Lord, for ordering our steps today and for ordering our steps tomorrow. And Lord, may our steps be filled with your presence wherever we go and whatever we're doing. Thank you, God, for eternal life, that we would know you. Amen. I don't want to ruin this with my words. So, you know, we always give you homework. Oh, okay. I got a prompt from my lovely husband. Well, first I'm going to say the homework is you can visit these places in the scripture. There are some other good places too. Ezekiel, his vision of heaven. Revelation 22, the new Jerusalem coming down. And enter into the worship around the throne in the next couple weeks and see what happens. And then Stephen asked me to ask if you have any questions. No?
Does anybody have any questions about anything we've covered the last three classes? Really? She did that good a job? I love your guys' teaching. I love where it's going because I think we're going to wind up taking two services and putting them on a disc and start handing them out because it's very much where God's taking us as a church. And I'm just curious, for those of you who did the homework, how many of you had a moment in class this week where God told you to be somewhere? Did you have a divine appointment? Anybody? No. Were you asking for it? No. Is that a yes or no? Is it you asking? Okay, I got a couple of head nods.
It's
there.
Okay.
All right. I think I love, this was our theme last Saturday when we were talking. It says, are you living your life in cooperating with what Jesus is doing in fill in the blank?
Wow.
And the homework I gave them, God interrupted my day off and told me to go have lunch at Chick-fil-A, and I wound up praying for a guy. And so I've been telling them throughout the week, be listening for God's voice or seeing Jesus and asking him what's going on in the moment. So I love it. This is awesome homework. These places are real. The throne room is real. God is real. Angels are real. And if you want to start learning to see and do it in the safest, most biblical way possible, right?
Yes.
Ask God to show you that which is more real than your earthly existence. And that's hard. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around because we live in this stuff every day and we think this is what's real.
Mm-hmm.
But this is temporary. This is going away. But that which is eternal is out there. It's like Elisha said to his servants, Lord, open his eyes so he can see that more of us are here, more are for us than are against us. And once the servant saw that, he went, oh, we're on the winning team. God wants you to know that you're on the winning team. So ask him to start showing you what is more real than your earthly life.
Yes.
And when you start seeing into the spirit realm, you will stop being afraid of seeing in the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
You'll start enjoying it. And then you'll begin to understand that scripture that says, and the things of this earth grow strangely dim. I had a friend of mine ask me this a couple weeks, how am I doing? And I said, not so good. And I said, I'm in a very tough place. I've stopped caring a lot about the things of the natural world. And I still have a natural life to live, and it's a very uncomfortable existence right now. So I'm navigating that. I'll give you the play-by-play on how I do with dealing with that. We should talk later. How are you guys? You guys ready? Okay. So we're gonna start our worship time.
Actually, but before we start worship, real quick. So this is kind of a surprise, but for those of, well, not for most of the people out here, but for those who don't know, October is actually Pastor Appreciation Month. And so it's really only a surprise for our two pastors. So, thanks to Mary, we have all collected a little something for you guys. Let me make sure I give you the right one. Yeah. And it's just a little something from all of us. So.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Lakari.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, and mine comes with childcare. That's probably important. Thank you. We haven't put it in the bulletin yet, but I do want to make this announcement. We had the head of the whole southern continent of Africa for YWAM here, and a team of about 8 traveling prophets from South Africa. And as a result of their weekend here with us, they thought they were here to tour around America. And it turns out God sent them here to have a divine appointment with our church and our church alone. And for those that were here, we advertised this poorly. You know, they said they were coming to introduce the move of the Holy Spirit to people who were not used to it. And so we told you guys, most of you went down to like the conference at the gate, and we said we were going to be like all mellow and pulled back and There was nothing about them or the meeting that was like charismatic light. They were like talking out loud in tongues. They were giving prophecy over everybody who walked through the door. They had visions for everybody. Anyway, as a result, they were so blessed by Nicole's worship. Vickis, one of them, basically said, "I'm not really sure how you can do this, but can you please come to South Africa and lead our entire missions base and worship and get them to do what you do here," which was pretty cool. And then Stefan and Wickus both invited me to come out and preach for 2 weeks at the various camps. Wickus wants to do some revival meetings in the townships just outside his mission space. And so Nicole and I are scheduled to go to South Africa the last week of January and the first week of February. So we are going to start fundraising. And so that's just something to put in your back of your head. And eventually it'll come out with a link in the email you guys can give online and all that kind of stuff. So thank you for the card. Appreciate that. And, so we're going to worship. We're going to do what we normally do, which is ask for the abiding presence of God to come down. But remember, this is the environment that gets created. Corporate worship happens, right? And because of the corporate anointing, it happens. You will never have an easier time or an easier place to see into the Spirit than here. And so what we want you to do is worship with a purpose. First and foremost, to be intimate with Jesus. But secondly, when you're in that place and you feel the anointing, ask Him. Ask Him to help you see. Amen?